Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 8 of the story, adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. Traveling night and day, Michael and his companion have reached the town of Ishim. With them have traveled the correspondents, Jolivet and Blunt, who now intend to remain in the town until further news of the Tartar invasion reaches them. On the road, Michael passed a carriage and preceded it into Ishim. But soon the passenger, a military-looking man, strode into the post house and demanded that Michael's horses be given to him. Michael refused, and immediately the man challenged him to fight. Michael refused also to fight, for his mission depended on the success with which he maintained his disguise. The stranger, after insulting him, repeated his jibe, but still Michael would not fight. With a snort of disgust, the stranger left the room, calling loudly for the horses as he went. Blunt and Jolivet, not knowing Michael's motives, bowed silently and took their departure. Then was left only Michael and Nadia.
Nicholas, give me your hand.
Leave me, Nadia.
But Nicholas...
Leave me! Leave me! For my country and the Tsar.
You there, postmaster.
Yes.
You belong to this country?
Yes.
Do you know that man who took my horses?
No.
Had you never seen him before?
Never.
Who do you think he was?
A man who knows how to make himself a bait.
You dare to judge me?
Yes. For there are some things that even a plain merchant cannot receive without returning.
Blows.
Blows, young man. I'm of an age and strength to tell you so.
Be off, my friend. Be off. I could kill you.
All right. I like you better for that. There'll be 3 strong horses for you in the morning. Good night.
Good night. Come in. Nadia.
You slept well, Nicholas.
I slept well. And you?
I am completely rested.
We'll be leaving within an hour.
Nicholas, I want you to know I understand about last night.
There's nothing...
Hush. See, I have placed my finger against your lips. We will not speak of it again. Do you promise?
I promise.
Then let us have breakfast and prepare for the next stage. How far have we come from Ishim now, Nicholas?
At least 60 miles. I'm glad the crossing of the river has been safely accomplished.
Why have you been so preoccupied since we left the ferry?
The boatman gave me news of the invasion. Fairfax Khan's scouts have already appeared on both banks of the Ishim River in the southern parts of the province of Tobolsk. Omsk is threatened. There was talk of an engagement between Russians and Tatars on the Kyrgyz frontier.
Were the Russians victorious?
Apparently not. They were hopelessly outnumbered. The troops retired, followed or preceded by nearly all the peasants in the province.
Oh, awful.
The boatman spoke of atrocities. Murder, pillage, burning. And worse.
How can it affect us?
By leaving the villages completely denuded of post horses.
I must get to Omsk, Nadia.
Your mother, she is completely unprotected.
Yes.
You have received no news of her since the invasion?
None. The last letter she wrote to me contained good news. She's brave and uncomplaining, and in spite of her age, she has great moral strength. She's known suffering, she can bear suffering.
I shall see her brother. Since you give me the name of sister, I am her daughter. Perhaps she has been able to leave Omsk.
It's possible. I hope she may have reached Tobolsk. She hates the Tatars and knows the steppe so well that she would have no hesitation in taking her staff and going down the bank of the Irtysh.
But she is not a young woman, Nicholas.
No matter. There's not a spot in the province unknown to Marfa. Because in the old days, she traveled everywhere with my father, just as I did.
When will you see her?
I shall see her on my return.
But if she is still in Omsk, you will be able to spare an hour to go to her.
I shall not go and see her.
You will not see her?
No.
But if your mother is still in the town, for what possible reason could you refuse to see her?
For what reason? For the same reason I killed the coward in Ishim.
Do not be angry with me, Nicholas. I have forgotten that. And I know now that all your actions are directed by some duty which you must perform. It must be a very sacred duty.
I cannot speak of my private affairs. I am Nicholas Korpanov, merchant of Irkutsk. And to Irkutsk I will get, or die in the attempt. Nicholas Korpanov, merchant, and his sister. We've arrived from Ishim and make for Irkutsk via Omsk.
Come in, then. Come in. Where is your driver?
He's taken the horses to the stable.
There's no time to wake up an honest man, brother. 3 o'clock in the morning.
You took enough time to answer my summons.
The man wants to keep his head in these times. He always considers well before he opens his door.
The Tatars have advanced, then.
They've stopped advancing. Detachments of their ruffians are roving everywhere across the steppes. If you want a driver, you'll have to use persuasion in rubles.
Have you any exact news of Tatar movements?
Oh, I can't say I have. I keep myself to myself, brother. They'll be here soon enough.
Then tell me, have you had any other travelers through here in the past 24 hours?
One.
A thick-set, red-bearded man, a military officer?
Yes, that was the man. You see this, brother?
Oh.
His whip did that. And I tell you, I won't forget it. We may meet again, that one and I.
I have a score to settle with him also. But we're wasting time. You have a fresh relay of horses?
I have. You'll find it hard to get a driver. All frightened of the Tatars. Tarantess with 3 good horses is a fair price.
I will pay in eagles.
The driver will need a great deal of persuasion, brother. Even I. The postmaster of Tyokomsk. Even I may not be able to persuade a driver to undertake such a dangerous stage.
Here. Will that help?
You're a generous brother. Yes, this will help me. Wait here. That will be a moment only.
Nicholas, you are spending too freely. Why didn't you use your papers?
I dare not use them here. We're out of European Russia. And a Russian specially exempted from a government you case would quickly draw public attention. I wish to avoid that.
Oh, of course.
Ah, you were quick, brother.
You're a generous traveler, I'm always quick. Who knows, but you may come this way again. Driver is changing the horses. Your own driver is asleep in the stable. It sounds as if he'll sleep until doomsday. You must have driven hard across the steppe, brother.
Hard enough. Make up a basket of provisions and bring them to the tarantass. Come, Nadia. With fresh horses, we can reach the Irtysh in 12 hours. And once we cross the river, we're only a dozen miles from Omsk.
They ferry us across?
Yes, for a price. The river's in flood. Natural enough for the time of the year. I'll cross first with the carriage and the horses. It's a heavy load and may be dangerous.
No, Nicholas. That would delay us an hour or more. Let us ferry the river together.
Very well, then. Driver, move along to the ferry. The boatmen are waiting.
Nicholas, how swiftly it flows.
The boatmen have control of the ferry. We shall reach the other bank.
Father, look upstream. The Tartars, a boatload of them.
A triple tip if we get safely across.
Oh, they are gaining. They will cut us off.
Nadia, listen, don't be afraid, but be ready for anything.
I am ready.
Even to throw yourself into the water when I tell you.
Whenever you tell me.
Lie down on the decking. It'll be safer there.
Down! To the waters!
Ah! Into the water! Into the...
Nicholas!
It was all begun and all ended in a moment. The Tartar boat collided with the ferry. The Tartars leapt silently aboard and slew the boatman. And even as Michael tried to help Nadia, he was knocked overboard by a lance thrust. Fighting savagely, the girl struggled to free herself from her captors, but to no avail. As the Tartar boat swept on downstream, she saw Michael's hand appear above the raging torrent for a moment, and then disappear beneath the turbid waters. What will happen to Nadia and to Michael? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, courier of the Tsar.